Title of today's sermon is Consecration and Prayer. Every time you come into the presence of God, if you are engaging, something has to change. Amen? Every time you come into the presence of God, you are actually engaging with God, something changes. And that thing that changes is never God. Because God is perfect. He doesn't need any change. There's no shadow of turning with God. Nothing occurs to God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last. The beginning and the end. God can never lose a battle. The only people that lose is men. Amen? If you are on the side of God, God can't lose. God can't lose. Losses happen when men are no longer aligning themselves with the will and the purpose of God. They go their own way. And because God loves you, He allows you to have a free will. He didn't make you a robot. Amen? So you see, God says, when you're going away, God will give you some warning, some advice. Yeah? But He can't force you. He will let you go. Amen? And when you go your own way, part of the message of God in your life is that you should face some consequences. Because if you don't, you will continue in your own way. In last week, I talked about the blessing of, or the benefit of pain. Pain is not always a bad thing. Pain is there to tell you that something is wrong. Amen? You know, just think, just imagine you're cooking, yeah? And there's no pain. And you mistakenly, you know, put your hand into the fire. But no pain. What happened? You're still dancing and singing to your earphone. And something is so pain reminds you that something is going wrong. Amen? And when pain shows up, it should remind us to turn back. Yeah? To the source. And say, what is wrong? Amen? Because He knows the way. Say, He knows the way. You know, one thing about God is that no matter how far you've gone astray, if you come back, He can restore you. Amen? He can give you beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. And the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. I'm quoting from the book of Isaiah. Amen. God is always in business. Amen. He doesn't sleep. Imagine. He doesn't sleep. He's always in business. And He's ever ready to welcome you and help you wherever you are in your journey. Amen. So when I come into His presence, I should come with an expectation to be transformed. Amen. People talk about, you know, becoming a better person. Yeah? You can't change your mind with your mind. They're on the same level. To change your mind, you need something higher, something greater. Amen? Someone say, you know, I'm going to change my life. You don't have the power to change your life. Your life changes always due to an external influence, whether good or bad. If you are exposing yourself to bad influence, your life will change to bad. Amen? But when you expose your life to the word of God, that word starts change. It changes the way you think. The word of God changes the way you think. And when the way you think changes, it changes the way you see things and see people. Your life starts changing. Some of the things that are going wrong in your life is because you have exposed yourself to the wrong influence. You will start desiring what you should not desire when you start exposing yourself to the wrong influence. What is bad will look good to you. And what is good will what? It will look bad. It's influence. Amen? Life is all about influence. As you are now, there are things in your life that are influencing you. In the right direction or in the bad direction. And maybe you yourself, you are influencing other people in the right direction or in the wrong direction. Everything about life, there's influence. But you can be a good influence. But you can't do it in your power. You need the word of God to dominate you. That's the influence we carry. Amen? The influence you carry that can transform other people's lives is an influence that is greater than you. Amen? And the greatest influence is the word of God. Amen? It is the greatest influence. Open your Bible to John chapter 1. Good to see you. Good to see you. John chapter 1. We're looking at consecration and prayer. Eventually we finish the sermon on prayer, but I will start with your consecration. John chapter 1. And if you can read for me, verse 1 to 4. John chapter 1. You are reading from verse 1 to 4. So that's the gospel according to John. Yes? Who has it? You can do NKJV or NLT. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. I just read it.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Amen. That's the secret. That's the influence. That's the secret of transformation. It's the word of God. Amen. When the word of God enters you and you embrace it, you give it room, it changes your life. I got born again at between 9 and 10 years old. I was in boarding school, my first year. So I saved my pocket money. You know, pocket money. And then when I got home, during the holiday, I was going to buy myself a Bible. Then I remember I had a neighbor opposite where we lived, so just opposite. We're like, if you read the Bible, you will run mad. You know, if you read the Bible and you just fill your life with the Bible, it will turn you mad. That was more than 15 years ago. I'm not mad. My life is better. The word of God has kept me from evil. You see, there's some evil you don't need to taste. Amen? There are some evil experiences you don't need to taste. It's wisdom, yeah, not to taste evil than to be learning from the experience of evil. Hello? Hello? It's wisdom. The word of God keeps you from the path of evil. Amen? But thank God that even when you've tasted evil, the word of God can restore you back. Amen? It can restore you because the word of God is like water. It washes your life clean. Amen? So that's what I'm saying. Now, when you are coming to church, come with an expectation of change and transformation. It is not in your place or in my place to tell God what to do. You're too small. Amen? He's perfect. You can't add to Him. You can't remove from Him. You can try, but you only hurt yourself. But when you engage, yeah, something changes in your life for the better. When you're fully engaging with God, you're leaving little room for Satan. When you're not engaging with God, you are opening the door wide and say, Satan, I love God. I love God. But my door is open. Amen? Hallelujah. I just wanted you to know that the greatest good that ever happened to your life is your maker. Is your manufacturer. He knows your frame. He knows your frame. He knows all your buttons. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you've been through. He has a plan for your life. Now, the greatest strategy of Satan. Let me ask my wife. 18 years. What is the greatest strategy of Satan? I said it on Wednesday when I was preaching.
Wednesday.
Okay, leave it. I give you time. I give you time, you remember. It was Wednesday night. Remember now? You attended the sermon?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, leave it. The greatest strategy of Satan. Yeah? distraction. You know, I said some days, one or 2 weeks ago, that one of the greatest things you can give to God, the greatest gift you can give to God, is your attention. He said, "My son, give attention to my words." Proverbs chapter 4. "And incline your ears to what? To my sayings." Let's go there. Proverbs 4. Open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 4. Tell me, which verse is it, my wife? Tell me. I know you can do that. Google can help you. Google will never forget me. I've used Google to write books. So all those Bible verses are there in me. When I just take a phrase, I just check Google. I force Google to tell me which Bible verse it is. Anybody found it? "My son, give attention." Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My reader there to help me. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. And you're looking at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. You keep going until I tell you to.
What
version? Let's go for New King James first. And then I will decide if we want to take it further. Stop, Pamela, are you enjoying the flow?
Okay.
You're enjoying the dish. It's the dish you've eaten for many years. It cannot be strange to you. I mean the one in church. I'm not talking about Sister Amanda's dish. I know that she's a good cook. Okay, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20.
"My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life."
Amen.
Amen.
So first, the Lord is speaking to you. He said, give attention. See, this attention is not just going to benefit you spiritually. It will also benefit you physically. It's health to all your flesh. It won't just benefit you physically. It will benefit you financially. It will secure you. It will benefit you in your relationships. Because one of the strategies of the devil today is brokenness in relationship. The devil doesn't like anything good. He attacks the family. He attacks marriage. He attacks relationship. Anything that is good from the Bible, the devil is out there to mess it up. But the word of God. You don't just give attention. You incline your ear. You make an effort. It's not just a matter of, okay, you are a consumer. You are just sitting down in your nice seat and you are seeing the word of God. You must go out. That's good. That's good. But you must also go out for it. You must take the step and say, this is important to me. I need it. That's the principle of asking, seeking, and knocking. Blessings don't come out to find you. Someone said, God does not put the grace of blessing in your hand. He puts them on the vine or the tree. Is God providing it? Yeah? But it's not. It doesn't dump it in your hands. It puts those grapes where? On the vine or on the tree. It's no job now to what? Cultivate it and get it. It's the principle of life. It's the principle that feeds you every day. Hallelujah. Incline your ear. Why? It's life and health. It's not just health physically. It's also health emotionally. It's health emotionally. The word of God brings healing to your emotions. When people are going through depression, the greatest healing, the greatest that can deliver you from depression is the word of God. It heals you. But the healing from depression is not just only nice words. You see, sometimes you are depressed because of the things you've done wrong. Or the bad choices you've made. Now, one of the breakthroughs from depression is to repent. You see, like when I say you repent, you admit your fault. Not necessarily because of people, but before God. You say, Lord, I messed up. It's healing. You know what I'm talking about? It's healing when you admit your fault. But when you cover it under the carpet, it's a foundation for the devil to come and harass you further. He will remind you. You know, the devil is kind of like, he will push you to do something wrong, then he will remind you about what you did 5 years after. When you come before God and you admit your fault, I missed it. I was wrong. I messed up. Father, forgive me. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says that, I'm reading from verse 8 now. It says, if we say we have no sin, 1 John 1, 8 to 9. If we say we have what? No sin. We are what? We are lying. And the truth is not in us. So imagine somebody going through depression. They are blaming every other person. Every other person is wrong. They are okay. It's not their fault. It's every other person's fault. It's their grandfather's fault. And their father's fault. And their wife's fault. And their children's fault. And their work colleagues' fault. Yeah? And their friends' fault. And their pastor's fault. But it's not their fault. You with me? You can't find healing when you are deceiving yourself. Because you see, you're only putting it under the carpet, it's still there. It will come out. But when you admit it and say, yeah, I missed it. Yeah, I'm guilty. Yeah. Now you are admitting it to the Lord God Almighty. He already knows it. You know, you're like, okay, you ate from God. He knows. He knows you. He knows. Isn't it? He knows what you ate yesterday night. Do you agree? I don't know. He knows. You admit it. I say, Lord, I missed it. Forgive me. And I would say, when you do that, He is faithful and just. To what? To forgive. The Bible says, okay, when you say, God, forgive me, it doesn't say he will chase you away. He will tell you to keep quiet. He said He's faithful to forgive you. Amen. It's a good place to be, to know you are forgiven. Amen. You know that song that we sang today? He said what? He said, I've been born again into God's family. Love has called my name. That's healing. That's healing. Emotional healing. Amen. To know that you are not hiding anything from God. Amen. You see, brokenness comes when something comes between you and God. You are spending a lifetime trying to prove, validate yourself. Who are you validating to? People? The devil? The devil does not care about you. You can never impress him. All he wants to do is destroy. The thief comes to steal and to what? And to kill and to destroy. John chapter 10, verse 10. But I have come, Jesus said, to give you what? Life. And to give you abundant life. When I say abundant life, a life that is victorious, a life that is righteous. You are producing the works of righteousness. You are putting the devil under. You are not allowing him to sit on your head. You see, when the devil sits on someone's head, that's depression. You with me? And you are not big enough to chase the devil away when he sits on your head. You need someone bigger. Amen? And that's God walking through his word. But you have to yield. You have to submit. You see, the real cause of all the mess in your life is that you have exalted yourself above God. You want to make the choices. You want to make the decisions. You want to choose your way, but you want God to bless you anyway. But God is not a dog. Amen? He's not a dog. I always say that the reason why people keep dogs is because they are loyal. When the dogs start biting them, they won't keep them. But God is not your dog. He is your God. He knows the way. Say with me, say, He knows the way. You know, sometimes you know you are thinking about you are trying to solve a problem and everything looks like there's no way. God knows the way. And He can show you the way. And many times I find that in working with God, sometimes the way God wants to take you to your breakthrough is not the way you are thinking. I remember sometime in my life, a few months ago, you know, I was in something I'm working on and I wanted to prosper.
And I'm praying, God, do it. Let this move forward. Let things move quickly. And I've been praying. Then God spoke to me one day. He said, you are worrying too much. You have prayed. Now leave it in my hands. Leave it in my interest. I know the way. It might not happen as quickly as you want. But that doesn't mean it won't happen. Amen? It doesn't mean it won't happen. It doesn't mean what? It will happen. The difference is whether you're going to break yourself in the process of trying to make it happen. Or you're going to wait and trust God, and then you can enjoy His peace and His love and His joy on the way to it happening.
Hallelujah. Many times people are in a hurry. Say many times. Say with me, say many times. People are in a hurry. They want to enjoy it now, what they should be enjoying later. It puts them in trouble. Because it's impatient. You can't wait. You want it now. Everything now. And then you can be sure that in the process, you will land in trouble. And you will start fasting and praying. Are you with me? So give attention. Don't you never say give attention. That's your gift to God. Amen? God's gift to you is His word. Your own gift back to God is your attention. God cannot help you beyond your attention. Your availability. If you are not available, God can't help. He wants to, but you need to be what? Available. You see, when you go your own way and you've messed up, you need to remember that you need to go back to the Father. You know, the prodigal son. Yeah? The prodigal son. Do you know the parable of the prodigal son? Let's look for it. Yes? Tell me, where is it? I think it's the book of Luke. The prodigal son. Let's go to Luke. And I will then tie this all into prayer. I'm still talking to you today about your consecration. The prodigal son. Where is it? Luke? Luke 15. Please open your Bible to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, from which verse? You see, it's good to have an assistant. Makes your life easier. Luke 15. Okay, let's change the word. They say a helper. Luke 15, yes, verse 1. Okay. Yes, if you have the mic, just read it for me. Luke 15 from verse 11. Please follow. This is a story of the father and two sons. Luke chapter 15 from verse 11.
Then it said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to their house, He heard music and dancing. So he called out, he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Amen.
Amen.
Now we're going to break that story down with the help of the Holy Spirit. I'll ask you some questions that will help you to understand this story better. Who was the father in this story? Within was the father? God? Yeah? So, in this story, Jesus is teaching us some of the character. He's making us understand the character of God. What did the father divide to the two sons? His inheritance. What is the inheritance God has divided to every human being? What has God given you? Talents? Yes, correct. But that's not what I'm looking for. There's something that God has given you that... Let me guide you. The prodigal son. What did the prodigal son want from the father? In general. One word. Think. You know, look outside it, sorry, and look at it. This prodigal son, what did he want? It's similar to what many people want. What did he want? So, say it.
It's freedom.
The prodigal son wanted what? Freedom. So what is inheritance? Given the fact that it's freedom he wants, what did the Father God give us all that enables our freedom? Your free will. Say with me, say, my free will is my inheritance. This is what will determine your eternity. What you do with your free will determine where you will go and how you will your status. You are the one choosing it. The Father in his love gives you what? Your inheritance. He could have held it and forced you to be a robot. But the Father doesn't want you to be a robot. He wants you to have a free will. But he wants you to offer back that free will to him voluntarily in appreciation of his love. So when you know the Father and you understand his love, you are going to go all out for him. Amen. Like, his love never fails. You know, sometimes you're in a relationship, whether it's friendship or romantic relationship, love can fail. I'm not praying that love should fail, but it can. Human love can fail. But the Father is constantly there. Constantly. No shaking. He loves you with a lasting love. But you can go your own way. He doesn't want you to go your own way. Please listen to me. The Father doesn't want you to go your own way because he already knows that he's giving you the best deal. Have you ever gone to a supermarket, yeah? Ladies. And you check for the price of a good. And you were not happy. Then you say, you know what? You know, maybe you even made some boast like, you know what? I may not even come back here. And then you go to the other one, or maybe it's a car wash or whatever. And you find that their price is higher. How do you feel? Anybody share their feelings with me. How do you feel then? Do you feel humble? The Father already has the best deal. Can you say the Father already gives you the best deal? But he will not force you to keep it. Because it's not the devil. The devil will force you. The Father gives you a choice. He wants you to follow him because you appreciate who he is. You see, when the Father is loving, you don't have an excuse
to drift away. You're making a big act of foolishness. So that's not where I'm going. So he gives them inheritance. Now look at this prodigal son. What did the prodigal son do to restore him back to the father? Prodigal son went away. Yeah? Oh, before then. How did the father see the prodigal son when he has left? What adjective did the father use to think about him? He was what?
Dead.
He was dead. Not physically, but what? Spiritual. And if he's dead spiritually, he's lost. He's lost. He said, this my son was what? But he's lost. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes. I told you the strategy of the devil is distraction. And the goal of distraction is to get you lost. Either lost in sin or lost in bondage and oppression or in foolishness. Yeah? And it's like, oh, God, where are you? God is still there. He's there. He doesn't move. But you drifted. You went your way. Yeah? You are out of his scope. The devil has accommodated you. You say, oh, you want to take some chance? We know how to do this business. Come, let's teach you. Yeah? We may teach you how to drink. We may teach you how to commit immorality. It may teach you, you know, bad things. They are all there to mess up the life. They are never there. There's nothing the devil offers you that makes your life better. Yes, it can be sweet, but it's sweet poison. So the father said, this my son was what? Was dead. He's lost. Now, come back to the story. So what happened to the prodigal son that he decided to return to the father? What happened? Sorry? No, you can't lose your free will. You can't lose your free will. He went to what? What type of pain?
Hunger.
You know, hunger is good. Sometimes hunger will bring you back to your senses. Amen? You know what that means? When you stop enjoying what you're enjoying. Are you with me? Like you're doing something wrong here, but you're enjoying it. Because something wrong can be enjoyable. I want you to understand that. That Eve enjoyed the process of eating the fruit. It was enjoyable. It has to be. If it's not enjoyable, it can't tempt you. You're too smart for that. Sin is enjoyable. Can you say with me? Say sin is enjoyable. Well, after you've enjoyed it, you will taste the poison. Now, what if that prodigal son refused to go back home? What will happen to him? Like, he's hungry now, yeah? And he's competing with pigs. You see, this is what they will do, does for you. Not you, you're a child of God. But if you drift, it will make pigs' food attractive. You're not following me. What is due to pigs that normally should be well below you? You will be chasing it, thinking you are enjoying. Because the devil, he will package the poison in a good wrapping paper. That's why I don't believe too much in all this. Packaging. You know, like, have you seen some Christmas gifts? What is inside? Yeah, so someone sent me a Christmas hamper. I'm grateful. But under, half of this basket is foam. You know what I'm talking about, yeah? Half, like from bottom to halfway. It's just packaging. But when you receive the hamper, you say, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I'm going to enjoy it today. Until you open it. So by the time I finish enjoying the hamper, what I have to throw away is more than what I... Are you with me? In fact, I visited the dump last week. There was a Christmas hamper said to me. The box is a wooden box. Very special. You see that box, you're happy. When I took it to the dump, even the person at the dump said, we can't throw this away. We have to keep it.
That's what the devil does. He will give you packaging. You are attracted to the package. You don't know that what is inside, yeah, is empty. Sometimes it may cost you 6 months to realize that. It's better to give attention to the word and not taste evil. But when you do taste evil, don't stay there. Run back. Because if that young man did not, I can call him a boy, did not go back, yeah, he will just perish in his brokenness. He will be competing with pigs for the rest of his life for food. Now, what did you notice about the father? In terms of when the prodigal son was approaching, what did you see about the father? Tell me, what did you notice about the character of the father? He was already there, waiting. You can imagine that maybe, you see, the father did not leave his house. Don't over-glorify yourself. You decided, you know, you knew the truth, but you decided to go and do the wrong thing. Don't think that God will be begging you. Please, will you? He will sometimes allow you to taste some pain so that you can understand that this thing is bad, it's painful, it hurts me. That's why he said I should not do it. But that doesn't mean the father did not love him. The father is still there. It is possible that every day he went to the gate to look out. That, oh, maybe my son will come home today. Yeah? He is not in the position himself to chase the son away. But the son has to come. Amen? You have to decide and say, you know what? I choose God. Amen? This, I think I'm enjoying, is deception. I'm not going to continue to deceive myself. Amen? But on God's side, he's waiting. He's waiting. The moment, about say, did he say he saw him in the distance? Amen? So he's not just waiting, he's looking out. And the moment he saw him, there was no going back. Did he run to him? Did the father run to him? See? You see, can you see the will of man cooperating with the goodness of God? The father runs to him. And just in case he changes his mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, God's plans towards me, they are of good, to bring me to an expected end. You have to copy. That's Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. But you have to cooperate with God. So I'm coming back to the strategy of the devil. What's the time? That's it. The strategy of the devil is to keep you busy with distraction. Somebody's distraction is their fashion. They don't have time for prayer. You don't get me. Someone spends 1 hour on their haircut. You don't believe it. I've been to Barber's Saloon. Sometimes you wait 1 hour before you get your turn. So when they have that haircut now, they feel they are cool. No time for prayer. No time for God. They are more impressed. They are more interested in impressing themselves and impressing others. That's Satan working. Because in that zone of impressing yourself and impressing others, yeah, temptations will come. Yeah. No time for prayer. When there's problem now, they say, God, where are you? The father said, I've been at home all along. You went your own way. You didn't have time for me. But I still have time for you. But you have to come to me. Amen. Silence the devil is entertainment. He wants to keep you entertained so that you are no longer paying attention. You know what I mean by entertainment? What entertainment do you like? Anybody? Where's my mic? We're about finishing. Anybody, tell me what you like. Don't be embarrassed. Come on. What do you like to do with your spare time? That's what I mean. Yeah? Just say it without the mic. What do you like to do with your spare time? Anybody? Yeah, let him talk. If he doesn't say it, I don't accept. anybody. You're not on trial. Anybody. Okay, tell us, what do you love? Yeah? What's the entertainment? Yeah? You with entertainment. You know, there are some churches that all the youth there, they are playing on WhatsApp and TikTok during service. It's the devil working. I hope you know. It's keeping you entertained. So you cannot pay attention. Because you know that the moment you pay attention, you know, when the devil came to Eve, he said, did God, it's an attention problem. He's asked, he's checking. What did God say? You should not eat any fruit. How attentive have you been? Then he says to him, he said, you know, surely die. But God said, you will surely. Eve ought to have replied to this serpent that God said, we surely die. He directly negated what God said, but not immediately. He first distracted her. They had a nice conversation. You know when you have a nice conversation? You can throw in a lie. Because you're already enjoying the conversation, you won't notice. Are you with me? It will keep you entertained. It will keep you busy. That's the strategy of the devil. That's why you will not pray. I know why you will not pray. You are too busy. You are too busy doing your own thing. Your business, your friends, your entertainment. What else? What else? Come on, tell me. Look at some people, you are cooking. Thank you. Traveling. Sometimes people want to explore this world as though the world will never end. It will end. I know that I've never been to, where have you been to that I've never been to? Greece, Egypt. You see? I've never been to Egypt. I've never been to Greece. I've been to Italy, Spain, but I've never been to Belgium. Maybe one day I'll get an invitation to preach in Belgium. I'll come. Amen? But don't hold on to the word as if the word will never end, because it will. And then it will be our turn, my turn, to explore the word. After the word has ended, and I have Superman ability, I will explore the universe. I will move from Mount Everest and dive into Mediterranean Ocean. It can't hurt me. I'm a Superman. Amen? So in prayer, we are deep. We are expressing our dependence on God. You have to find time to be in God's presence. Don't deceive yourself. Don't impress yourself. God can cut through all the pretension and all the mess. He sees your heart. You need Him. Say with me, I need time with God. Many things going wrong in our lives, they are going on because we've not had time for prayer. And always say, it's better you pray in advance than after. It's better you pray and your prayer prevents or modulates a problem than you are praying after you've gone through the mess. If you have a regular pattern of prayer, it controls the atmosphere around you. So when you see the atmosphere upside down, it's proof that you're not praying. You are too busy, or you are too lazy, or you are too worldly. Are you with me? There is no battle that you cannot win with God on your side. Don't impress yourself. Sometimes there are people like come to shake you and say, oh, you are one of the best people I've ever met. Very gentle, very nice. Don't impress yourself. That's man's verdict. It's man's verdict, but what is your relationship with God like? Amen? Let's leave it there for time. Next week, I'm going to continue back with the topic, knowing God's will. We're going to do part 3. But I just want to tell you that the best deal is in God. If I give attention, if I engage, I will enter the best deal. It doesn't mean my life will be perfectly rosy, but it means that I will be on top of the situation each time. I will not be sinking under. Amen? And when the prodigal came back, what did the father do? The father restored him. Is that not gracious? Restored. That's God. And when I come back to God, wherever I've gone to, whatever my story, whatever my pain, yeah, He will begin to restore my life. You see, for everything that the devil has stolen, God can do better.
I will end on that note to get you understand that. God, whatever you lost, God can give you back better. Job was a man who feared God, loved God. The devil came to attack him. He lost 7 sons and 3 daughters. God gave him back. He lost 14,000 oxen. God gave him double. There's nothing the devil has done in your life that God, when you come back to him, he can restore you. He can restore you. He can what? Restore you. Someone say, but I'm too old. Abraham was how many years old? 100. And Sarah was 90. When God told Abraham that he's going to give him a son, how old was Abraham? Like 75. He was still a man. His body could still function. But the Bible says when he was 100, his body could no longer function. But that doesn't stop God. He's able. Amen? So you're never too old for God to work in your life. But you have to give attention. Time. Prayer needs time. You have to be there and pray. Actually pray. Don't think what you do on the phone to help your business is what we give you breakthrough. Pray. If you have a problem in your life, what? Pray. If you have children, pray in advance. Don't wait until the trouble has started. But then if you waited and the trouble has started, pray more. Pray. Then you will see God working. Don't impress yourself. Don't try to impress others. The real person you need to impress in your life most is what? Is God. And when you impress God, you will see his hand, his power at work in your life. His power, his raw power at work in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Talk to God. You know, sometimes people say, you know, like, oh, where is God? God's not working. It's God. They're not giving time to him. People who are giving time to God are seeing God work in their life. They are seeing his power. They are experiencing his healing, his deliverance, his transformation. Their lives are turning around for the better because God has their attention. There's so much distraction in the world. Some people are over distracted by jewelry. It's a distraction. I'm not saying you should wear jewelry, but you have to be moderate. Otherwise, it's just a distraction. Sometimes distraction is money. You know, you need money. We need money. But don't let money become your God. Because then it's a distraction. Attention is the key to your victorious life in Christ. Thank you, Father God, for your word. We pray that we will not just go out of here and then just forget, but actually let the changes begin. Let the changes begin. We want to have more time for your word, for prayer, because we want to see more of your power. That's what I want you to pray to God. Say, Lord, I want to see more of your power in my life. If it's a living God, you got to experience him. It's not just a God up there that you're just going to praise and you never. You got to experience him. If he's alive, you got to see him speak to you and do things in your life. But you may not see much if you're not going to give him attention. You don't see much if you're not going to pray or make yourself available for prayer. So that's why I want to pray to talk to God. So I say, Lord, I choose to make myself more available for prayer, for your word. I want to give you more attention. More attention. So that I can experience more of your power and your presence in my life. Pray and say, Lord, I'm sorry where I've tried to impress myself. I'm sorry where I've just been too focused on impressing other people. And I've left the most important matter, which is to impress and to please you and to do your will. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. You know, when you're trying to impress yourself, yeah, it's called pride. Another word to say is it's your ego. You're massaging your ego. You're making yourself feel good. But you are opening the door for the devil. You have to humble yourself. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When you humble yourself, difficult problems, they begin to simplify. Because when you are humble, you can yield. When you are not humble, you won't yield. You will argue your point.
You will stand on your ground stubbornly and you will not yield, and then God cannot walk. So Lord say, Lord, I humble myself. I yield to you. I finally come to accept that you are the best deal. Your word is the best deal. Your way is the best deal. Any other thing is deception. And I yield myself to you. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed.